Hi, everyone. This is Ava at AvaLates.com. Huge warm welcome to all of you here on this gorgeous morning. I'm going to be bringing on such a special guest today as we talk about nurturing your creativity while writing your first book. And so today is April 1st, 2015, and I'm so excited. You know, I'll introduce both of us in just a minute, but the one thing that most inspired me to create this class today was because I've been working on a manuscript, my first book, for pretty much the last 2 years now. And along the way, I've had various writing mentors and guides. And I'm so excited to introduce you to my newest guide, who has just been amazing. Her name is Lindy Blodgett, and I'd love to share a little bit more about Lindy. Before I do, I want to tell you some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to give you a really intimate look inside the creative process behind my first book. And we're doing so because it's very applicable to whatever creative project you're working on right now. So I know that some of you are wanting to create books of your own. Maybe some of you are working on those already, or you're working on some sort of other creative writing project or some sort of creative project. Maybe it's in your business or your work, in your profession. And so we're coming on the phone today to really spur your creativity, to really light a fire behind it. And so some of the things we're going to be talking about are several of the creativity nurturing tasks that we've been doing together while Lindy has been supporting me in writing my book, and as well as talking about how partnered creativity can expand the creativity of both people involved. So, and then on top of that, you know, we had such an interesting thing come up in conversation as we were planning this class today. We're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to hire a friend, because Lindy is my friend. I've known her since 2010, and you know, I get this question a lot, especially among entrepreneurs. Should I hire my friend? Or should I give my friends free services? Or should I ask them to pay me like every other client? Is it awkward for friends to exchange money with each other? And so we're going to be answering some of those questions. And I want to tell you a little bit more about Lindy. So Lindy Blodgett is a poet who brings beauty into words to light the human heart. And she really brings a lot of wisdom to other creative people's most important projects. She's the author of the poetry project 100 Days of Prayer, which I've heard many of those poems are gorgeous. She works with writers and artists to bring their manuscripts and creative projects to fruition while honoring their natural ways of being. And one of her clients said, Lindy has a unique gift that I don't claim to understand. This gift allows her to listen with her heart, to tap into the divine source from which we all arise. As only the words of poets can, Lindy's words allow us to open our hearts and receive the love and magic that is always there. So she is currently writing commissioned works of poetry for her clients, for ceremonies, for events, important life moments, and she's also preparing to travel to all around the United States, writing a book about the honeybee, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more. And getting to know Lindy just may make you believe that you can do what you most love with your life. And for those of you who are already curious about her work, I know that her poetry and inspiration, as well as details about having her come into your life as a sacred writing buddy, those are all at lindyblodgett.com, LindyBlodgett.com. And I also wanted to take just a minute to introduce myself as well, because some of you know me and then some of you are maybe just new to my work today. And, you know, I'm so excited. Like, Lindy has been a fabulous mentor and guide for me. And in my business, I work as an inspirational speaker. I'm a business mentor, a forthcoming author, which we'll be talking more about. And my belief is that making money should feel like bliss. And so I provide innovative business, money, and marketing guidance to entrepreneurial women around the world. And you can connect with me, find out more about my work, and also connect with, you know, we've done a lot of these interviews up until this point, and they are all housed at avawaits.com. So with that said, Lindy Blodgett, it is such a joy and pleasure to have you here. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Ava. I just want to start by saying to everyone on the call that if you haven't met Ava, you really want to. She is, I mean, you can already tell from her voice and the way that she speaks, she's this incredibly beautiful, happy, joyful, smart, creative, really kind person who, you know, we're all out here making our dreams happen. And she's just this incredible person to have by your side. So if you haven't checked out her work, I hope that you do. And I'm excited for you to hear about some of the details of her book, because she's writing this incredibly beautiful book. And aww. I find myself talking about it to my friends all the time because there's things in it that need to be in the world. So I'm really happy to be on this call with you, Ava.
Oh, Lindy, I am so excited. I was listening to you before the call.
And just, where do we start?
Getting totally excited. So let's first start with where we connected. I mean, we go way back now, but I do want to talk about where our professional collaboration started, because the thing that I want to bring up for everyone on the call is that as you're working on a creative project, what I was finding as I was about a year and a half into my book is that I stopped writing it. And I had this feeling that I really needed someone to hold me accountable, and I really needed someone to be there with me, because I was just at a standstill. I wasn't doing anything with it. And I had spoken with some other writing mentors over the year, and it didn't quite feel like they were the ones to really take me through this final piece of writing my manuscript. And so I really was at a place where I knew, okay, I need someone. I need someone to be there. I need someone to hold me through this. I really need someone who can help me develop more ideas, because I didn't want to just bring a really boring business book into the world. And so Lindy, so
yeah.
Can you please tell them how we first connected and realized that there was actually a professional way that we could work together on the book?
Yeah. The thing that I love about the way that we ended up working together is, I think, really intrinsic to how both of us work in the world, which is that it happened through sort of a synchronistic, intuitive chain of events. I hadn't seen Ava in 6 months or longer.
Yeah.
And she just kept coming to my mind. I had something really different happening in my life, and I was like, I should have tea with Ava. And so I called Ava, and we made a tea date, and I was in the middle of writing my 100 Days of Prayer project, which has turned into my first manuscript, and we were just talking and catching up, and Ava was telling me about her book, and I was so excited for her, and then Ava started talking about how she needed to have help finishing it. And the way I experienced it was literally, we were sitting at the table chatting, having this beautiful time, you know, like sort of friends reconnecting, and we were both writing, and it was beautiful. And then literally it was like your eyes snapped onto mine, and you just stared at me, and you said, you could help me do that. And I sat there, and it was just this very beautiful moment of, you know, I had worked in a mentorship capacity with people before. I had been writing mm-hmm. for a really long time. I had spent actually a lot of my professional life in sort of deep spiritual partnership with people and the projects that mattered to them. And yet until you in that moment, I wasn't even thinking about working with you. I was just with you. And so it just felt right. So Ava sent me a chapter of her book. I said, why don't you send me a chapter of what you've got, and I'll tell you what I would suggest if you were to hire me, like how we would proceed. And so she sent me a chapter of her book. I got excited about her book, and mm-hmm. we met for coffee, and I said, these are the things that I think you could do. And what I remember is the place that we really started working together is the one thing that kept coming into my mind over and over again is, if this was the only thing you could leave on earth, like if this was the one book you got to write with everything that you know now and all of the beauty in your being and everything that you love, what would you say? And that was, for me, where our contract started.
Yes, and I think that was a really important point that you put into this project right at the beginning, is that if this is your only thing to leave on the planet, what are you going to say? Because, and I think that's so important for all of you listening, all of your creative projects, imagine it as it is the one. It is what you will leave behind. It is a piece of your legacy. And so it doesn't mean that we have to stuff our creative projects with everything in the world that we want to say, because then it would kind of get diluted, but to really pull the richness and the very important things that we feel like we need to leave for humanity and put those into the book. And so, Linda, you know, these days I've been seeing this all over the place. There are a lot of business books out there that are written where it's kind of like they're just a big sales letter, but packaged in a book. And that was one of the things that I definitely did not want my book to be. I wanted my book to be a standalone item. And sure, if it leads people back to my business, that's fantastic. If it leads to speaking opportunities, that's great too. But it really needed to be a standalone item. And I think that it was so great having your guidance to really help me do that. So that was huge.
Yeah.
I have just a little side.
Go ahead.
Will you hold your thought for a second?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention to everyone on the phone call, too, that, you know, another thing that came up when Lindy and I first connected, and I think I have a habit of doing this, this is so funny, is that I have found that over the years, sometimes I'll look at people around me, and they've probably, like, maybe other business owners or other people, and I don't know if this is a good or a bad habit, but sometimes I can see things that they're talented in, and I almost ask them if they will step into a new job role for me.
Yeah.
And I realize
it's a really beautiful thing about you.
I realize I have done this to several people very recently. I mean, even one of my photographers, I called her up and I was like, hey, I know you do this, but I know you do photography, but can you do some business photos for me? And I literally, just now as we're on the call, I see that I actually tend to do that with people, is saying, hey, do you think you could make this new service for me? So I just want to say that and have everyone's mind stay open, that if you are looking for a writing mentor right now, there might be someone around you. It may be Lindy. It may be someone else who you have in your life, and they might not even know that they're going to be your writing mentor yet, but they are so talented and skilled in that. So, Lindy, I just thought that was such a neat thing about our relationship.
I love that. I love that, because part of what your book is bringing is this beautiful nature metaphor, which isn't really a metaphor at all. It's you bring, you know, the reality that when we align ourselves with these gorgeous, natural, abundant laws of the world, that things grow and prosper and live in joy, and that's what you do in your life. So it's just perfect that that's the book that you're writing and that's what you give to the world.
Yeah. And for those of you who are a little bit new to the book itself, the working title that we have right now is A Woman's Treasure, Grow a Business Where Making Money Feels Like Bliss. And everything in the book is modeled on natural principles of growth and how those can be applied to a business so that money flows into your life, so that income flows into your life, and clients are attracted to you as easily as a flower would attract bees when it's fully open and fully in bloom. So that's just a little preview.
Great.
So, Lindy, was there anything else that you wanted to add to that, kind of how we got started? Because I know in a minute I do want to take people into some of the creative processes that we've been working in as well. But is there anything else that you wanted to add there?
The only thing I wanted to say is that for me, the baseline for myself of when my creative projects thrive and what I see happening in other people, which was present in Ava when we first got together, is they thrive when they're based in a deep calling.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a, you know, I often ask myself, if I didn't have to think about money, if I didn't have anybody sort of caring what I'm doing, what would I spend my time doing right now? And really often it's doing some creative project that feels like it brings more goodness and love into the world. And
yeah,
for me, that's what was so attractive to me about your book, is that you had this deep call to write it. And
mm-hmm.
as we talk about the kinds of creative things, the kinds of structures we can use to support our creativity and make it easier for it to thrive, I have found for myself that the easiest thing to do is start with a foundation of something that you actually feel really, really moved to make.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start from that place of being truly inspired by the work, it's a lot easier to keep momentum during the hard times and to pick yourself back in when you get distracted, and that baseline of coming from a deep place is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, too, back to the moment that I knew I needed to write a book. And this happened, it was a couple years ago in Los Angeles. I'd actually just been out on the island of Kauai and was now in Los Angeles and was kind of doing a hop. I was actually visiting three places over the course of 2 weeks. And I was in this conference in Los Angeles, and the people on stage had just, they had just offered a book to the audience for sale. And it was this intuitive hit that said, if you want to be on more stages, it's time to write your book right now. And the funniest thing, too, was that about a half hour later, I ended up running into one of my colleagues who was at that conference as well. And we hadn't seen each other for about a year. And I walked in, and she said, oh, Ava, it's so great to see you. How are you? Aren't you writing a book or something?
Mm-hmm.
And she had no idea. And it was literally a half hour before or an hour before where my intuition had said, you should write a book now. And
mm-hmm.
and this little intuitive hit was coming to me, a woman who literally, when I was choosing colleges when I was younger, I decided to not go to a college where they would make me write a huge senior thesis project.
Right. So, it wasn't right. Yeah.
Right? Like, I literally decided to not apply to a college because I did not want to write something that large. I honestly didn't ever want to write a book. It didn't appeal to me. It sounded hard. It sounded big. And
mm-hmm.
and then intuition was like, if you want to be on more stages, write your book. And
mm-hmm.
so, and pretty much 3 days after that, I ended up finding someone who first taught me about the structures of writing a book. So I've actually had several mentors through this process.
Mm-hmm.
You've been the third lovely
mm-hmm.
person. So yeah.
I think that's your first lesson to people on this call, is that it can be really good to trust your instincts about what kind of support you need when.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you've done that so well, is that in the very beginning you found the person who could help you, and then the next person, and then I landed up at coffee with you, and and I mean, that's something that is a really, it can be easy when you're in an epic project that requires a lot of you to like maybe have a first person and kind of exhaust what worked well with them, and then
sure.
that's a time when people could give up if they wanted to, and you don't. You just keep finding the next kind of support and help and inspiration you need to keep breathing life into your project.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a beautiful way of approaching it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even right now I have also a publishing and publicity consultant as well.
Yeah.
Because that's a big part of a book that I think a lot of people sometimes overlook, is that you write the book, and then you do have to promote the book. And that takes a lot of skills in marketing, in publicity, in getting it out in the world. It takes doing interviews, getting up on stages, sometimes even traveling. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm preparing, I've literally been preparing for that since the time that I started writing the manuscript. I have a piece of paper, and it's full front and back in very small writing of every single thing I can do to promote the book once the book comes out. So, yeah.
So the first creative lesson for all our listeners is dedication and willingness to ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Taking time. So another thing that I've done throughout the book writing process that I love, and if it supports any of you who are on the phone, please go for it. Take it, do it. Is that I have been taking writing retreats periodically, not even every single month, sometimes every couple months, but little writing retreats. Sometimes they look different. I've been given access to different houses. You know, people are going on vacations, or it's a house sitting opportunity, or it's just a friend who has an open space. And I have actually really loved to write my book while being in different locations. It doesn't really work for me to write it at my home office. It doesn't really, it's like, I'm one of those people who loves kind of outside stimulation. I love to travel. I love to be in new locations and explore. And so that's been really important. So if you on the phone, if you have a place where you can go, where you can relocate, it might even be a house sitting job. Like I was actually paid to house sit. I was paid to house sit at a $1.5 million mansion, which is where I wrote a good portion of my book. And so I got to be in this wonderful, lovely space, get paid for it, and then have a whole bunch of time to dedicate to the book. So that's been one of the ways that I really do feel my creativity is being in a different location to write.
This reminds me of what we talked about last week, where part of the dedication to the process of bringing through such a big project is in moments when we get stuck, in moments when we're not quite sure what to go, part of what we can be dedicated to is finding ways to do it that are joyful to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, like reconnecting with, okay, what writing environments make you happy? And under what conditions do I feel excited to write? And what kind of, like, would I rather find a room that feels most like a cave and, put on classical music and get in my most coziest pajamas and write for 8 hours in a row? Or am I a person who wants to get dressed up in beautiful clothes and go sit at the most beautifully lit cafe and have a friend next to me and alternate between 15 minutes of chatting and an hour of writing, and 15 minutes of chatting and an hour of writing? And part of what I've loved, Ava, about our work together is that as both of us have been in this process together and working on our own projects, we've talked a lot about what are the conditions under which your creativity thrives.
Yes.
And that's the way to make dedication fun rather than feel like drudgery.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what you're great at.
Yeah, making it feel fun. And the thing about that, too, is that I feel like if people are creating something, anything, like whether you have a business or whether you're writing a book on the side or whatever you're doing right now creatively, if you are writing it in a location that feels gross to you, or if you're writing it in a situation that does not feel inspiring, I feel like that energy is going to come through into the project. And so for me, Lindy, I have, as you know, I probably make a substantial investment in tea because I will go to the cafes, and that's where I write the best, and on airplanes, and that's a bigger investment to have a couple hours of writing time. The one thing that I really appreciated too, and I think all of you, again, if you're looking for a writing mentor, is to always ask them where do they do the best work, or how and in what situation will they be reading your book or responding to your book. Because Lindy, one of my absolute favorite moments of the time that we had together was the first time that I gave you the manuscript. You literally read it while you were on an international flight to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it went with you. Like, it physically traveled with you to the other side of the world. And I am such a fan of Europe, and travel just lights me up. And so that was such a special moment to actually know that the manuscript has traveled to another country before I did. And mm-hmm. that was wonderful motivation for me to get the manuscript to you before you left. So,
you know, what's funny is that I know that that's just like that was such a special thing that happened. And what mm-hmm. I want to say to everybody is that, you know, sometimes when we imagine life as a writer, it can sound really lonely. Mm. And we kind of have that stereotype that people are, you know, alone at their computers and slaving away for hours. And one of the things I think that you can learn from Ava, that I learned from Ava a lot and from this process, and I would encourage you to do, is that, like, Ava's so determined to have things be joyful that she really does just draw all these experiences to her. And allow the process to be fun and sort of take however long it takes in a way that lets it grow naturally. And mm-hmm. that's something that I really valued about our time together, is that, you know, when we're especially, like, you know, when you're writing that the point is for this book to be published. And so you mm-hmm. have an eye all the time on how is it going to be received. And
yeah.
when we're approaching projects like that, where we know that they're moving into the public eye, and we're wanting to meet the needs of readers and bring good things into their life, we also, I think, can have a balance of making sure that we create that process in a way that is fulfilling to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that we get fed by the experience of writing this book for other people, and we get to work in the way that is natural to us. And some of us, you know, in the American schooling system have learned that there's a right way to produce anything like intellectual work.
Mm-hmm.
And we get in these ruts of thinking we need to do it a certain way. And I would hope that everybody would, whatever it means for them and whatever process they need, would hold it sacred, the process of you know, putting their wisdom and their heart and their thoughts and their life and their distillation of truth into the world, to do it in a way that honors your rhythms. And
mm-hmm.
like, oh, Ava, this is a
yeah.
really good time to talk about how people are creative at different times of the day.
Yes, yes. So this is so fantastic, and some of you on the phone call may already be aware of your natural creative rhythms, or maybe you're discovering them right now. And some of you might be really early morning risers, like you can get up at 4 a.m. and you can write, and it's just fluid and it just flows out of you. For me, I found over the years, even running my business, that I tend to be most creative from, I'd say, about 7 to 11 p.m. at night. That's really my biggest creative time. And so I have actually done some very specific things in my life, like the way that I live my life, to hold that 7 to 11 p.m. as just a super sacred time. And one of them is that I don't really go out that much on the weekends, like Friday and Saturday, right? We kind of have this idea that that is like that social time that you go out and you go do stuff. Honestly, I've been at home on more Friday nights in the past couple years than ever. But I do that for my book, and I honestly don't see that as that I'm losing anything, because I have really great social connections that I can have in the daytime, or I can get together with friends in the afternoon or mornings perhaps, and that works really great. So I have I have really set aside that evening time for myself. And the other thing too that came up, I'm not a big drinker of alcohol at all. I haven't really ever been. It doesn't respond well to my body. And so But what I noticed is even if I were to go out to eat and have a drink with dinner, that makes me tired. And that actually causes me to then lose those creative hours in the rest of the evening. And so I have barely had an alcoholic drink at all in the past couple of years. Or if I do, maybe it's more in like a midday. But even then, I'm really not much of a drinker anyway. So that's been one thing, is I know that that's going to make me tired. I know that excess sugar is going to make me tired and kind of have a crash later at night. So I even went on a 6-week sugar cleanse a couple months ago. And so I've been doing all these things in my lifestyle and in the way that I live and the way that I eat and consume things that has really helped to hold that sacred evening writing space for me. And for all of you here, your sacred writing space might be at a completely different time of the day, but I do encourage you to find out what that is and make a point of holding it as yours, holding it as your writing space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have, though, just so everyone on the call knows, I have almost the opposite creativity schedule as Ava. I'm my most productive early in the morning, and I like to be in a silent, deeply still place to enter my zone. And so that is just to offer that, and it took me a while to figure that out, and that's to offer that in your own creative life, experimenting with just noticing how does it feel when I'm in a cafe versus how does it feel when I, you know, some people write best after they exercise. They get a bunch of blood moving and they clear things out. Some people write best in really short bursts, like 20 minutes, jot things out. Some people don't even get rolling until they've been writing for an hour and they know that most of what they write in the first hour is garbage and then they're going to hit their stride and just like pour out for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And you also don't need a writing mentor or writing coaches who have the same pattern as you.
Mm-hmm.
All that matters is that whoever's in your life supporting you has respect and honor for you finding what works best for you to bring forth your best work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that is so important. And as I'm thinking through, you know, all the work that we've done, all the time that we've spent together, I think you and I were mostly meeting in afternoons or evenings, and it was perfect for me because then I could go home and then I could just write. And for me, my way to get into creativity is usually talking with a colleague for a little while and just getting excited about life and what we're both doing, and then I'll leave that phone call or that conversation just completely lit up. So that's one way that I also fuel my creativity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, getting in a space of being excited.
Yes. Yes. And Lindy, as you're thinking back through just the months that we've been working together and the processes that we've gone to, are your thoughts going to any particular time or moment in our writing process doing the creative work behind the book I'm creating? Is there any other creativity-inducing process that is coming to your mind?
Yes.
That you feel like we should share with people? Okay, great.
I do.
I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
Okay. The thing that's coming to mind is when we realized that as you were growing and evolving at the very rapid pace that you always do, that there needed to be a re-clarification of what the central, most important point of the book was.
Mm-hmm.
And when you took the time to be with that and talk with people who have worked with you and, like, gave yourself the space and the nourishment that you needed to like really finish it fully.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in all of my own big creative processes, there's always that point at which it's like, okay, so I put down all this amazing stuff and I like it, but like how do I clarify it and streamline it and bring it into its place of, like, utter clarity?
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes means being willing to stop writing for a minute and reconnect with the energy behind it and beneath it and who your audience is now and how new things you've learned are going to integrate in. And that there's kind of a slight, like, patience mixed with kindness at those places where some big new leap of clarity is going to happen.
Yeah.
And to trust those ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that you, as a writing mentor to me, that you also trusted those ebbs and flows, because there was a point where it was maybe for 2 months during you and I working together where I stopped writing. But I was out collecting a whole bunch of information as you were sharing. I was interviewing my clients, my colleagues, and asking for things that they really needed and were looking for. I was learning so much about publicity. I was learning so much about different publishing options. I was in deep, deep, deep learning. And even for a moment, I had a question about who is this book even for? Like really, really looking and getting even more clear on who the audience is for the book. And that's a very important thing to know. And so there were some things that we really paused. So like, right? Mm-hmm. Like I really paused the writing and you let me pause the writing so we could just have conversations that were more about creating new ideas and getting clear on who the book was for. And that was really helpful because I could have been forced to keep writing, right? Like we could have forced me to keep writing. But if I didn't feel inspired or if I didn't know who the book was for or if I didn't have some certain baseline clarity about where the book was headed, that all of that writing probably would have been in the trash anyway. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is what we're talking about, right? Is like what nurtures our creativity, both of us, is being human beings. And we exist in seasons. We're not machines.
Yeah.
And so I loved that also. That was a really beautiful thing to be with you for.
Yeah, I'm so glad. And let's chat a little bit, too. I know this is actually one of the things I'm just most excited for on the call that we have today and being here with everyone listening is talking about what it was like to hire a friend. And
yeah.
I bring this up because, you know, I have been chatting with colleagues over the years, and sometimes we honestly come to that point where we're colleagues and we're having a conversation, but it kind of turns into this little awkward moment of, wait, did I just cross into the realm of, like, looking for their professional guidance? Or, wait, did they just ask me a question that I don't feel okay responding to because my clients actually pay me money for that answer? Like, so I've been in those awkward moments on both ends, moments where I felt that I just crossed a line into someone else's professional guidance, and then moments where I felt people were asking me way too much guidance without wanting to pay me because, you know, they were asking me things that my clients were already paying me for. And so, let's talk about that for a minute.
Great.
That friend thing, being friends and hiring each other.
Yeah, I love that. What comes up for me instantly as whenever we talk about this is that the clarity for that in me is always in my body.
Mm-hmm.
It always lives in, either a sense of clarity or not in my being about how I'm interacting with other people, because a lot of my friends are in professions or offer professional services that I may want to purchase, and I offer services that they won't want to purchase. And then there's times when it feels totally right to do like what we did, where it's like this very clear professional relationship, and
yeah,
we're human together, and we know each other. But when we sit down, I am absolutely and totally in a mentorship capacity with you for that
mm-hmm.
hour that we're at coffee, and that's what we're doing, and it's really clear.
Yeah.
And for me, that's so different than, like when we hang out as friends and we
right.
are, we might chat about things that are related to business, and I might like throw out an idea about your book, but it's a totally different kind of energy involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, like, I don't know that I have any good wisdom for it, except that I feel like my body tells me those moments
mm-hmm.
when either I cross the line or someone else does. And for
mm-hmm.
me, the best thing about that is gentle honesty. Like, oh,
yeah.
hey, I feel like we're getting into something that's feeling a little bit awkward, and just talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, one thing for any of you on the phone right now, where maybe you have someone who is asking for a lot of you recently, or maybe this will happen to you or whenever, but you can always say something like, oh, you know, that's exactly what I help my clients with in my business. Would you like to talk about working together?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple. And then it does put up that nice boundary. And, yeah, because I see a lot of entrepreneurs kind of getting into that gray area of like, oh, should I work with this person, or are we just chatting as friends? And I think that it's important to have both. And Lindy, I know that I wanted your undivided attention, and
yeah.
I think that's why I was so willing to come into that professional relationship and actually hire you for that, and like
yeah.
send money to you. Very happily, by the way. That was so fun. and because I wanted you in a fuller capacity than just,
yeah.
you know, just friends chatting. And that is one great thing for all of you here. Whenever you hire a mentor, if you truly want their undivided attention and you know that you want them to really make their energetic investment into you, you will be called to make a monetary investment into them. And
mm-hmm.
it is a fantastic way to set up a work structure. So, but yeah, Lindy, going back to like feel it in your body, like you'll probably
yeah.
notice if you're overstepping a boundary or if it's time to hire someone, or if you should ask your friend to hire you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is so fun.
What else do we have? How much time do we have left, and what else do we want to talk about?
We have, I mean, we could go for another 15 minutes.
Right.
If you can, you know, if you have some other things on the top of your mind. But maybe even before we get into that, I would so love, can you share just a little bit more with everyone here how they can stay connected with you? Because, and before you even do that, I just want to talk to everyone on the phone. Lindy is so fun. and Lindy is so talented. I think that the biggest thing that she did for me is through our conversations that we had, she pulled forward these rich points that are being added into my book that just I wouldn't have even thought of. That's the thing. It's like instead of having this boring, like, step-by-step, this is how you do it, this is how you make money in your business sort of book, she really supported me in just writing a spectacular manuscript that has so much more and so much more that I really want to leave for women, for young girls, and I so appreciate that. And, yeah, Lindy, so for people who are here
yeah.
and want to stay connected with you and want to perhaps even get your support and your guidance, how can they do that?
Yeah, thanks, Ava.
Sure.
There's a few different ways that I'm working with people right now. At my website, lindyblodgett.com, there's a gallery of my poetry. I write commissioned poetry for people, so people hire me to write poems for wedding ceremonies, anniversary letters, love
mm-hmm.
poems to their best friends, you know, poems to help heal relationships with the past. So I write poetry. I also work one-on-one with just a few people at a time in a writing mentorship capacity like I did with Ava. And you can find out a little more information about that on my website. But really, if you're interested in talking about working together in a one-on-one capacity, emailing me is the best idea. And you can get me through my website or email me at lindy.blodgett@gmail.com. And the third thing, the most interesting thing that's new right now is I'm opening an online magical writing school called The Writing Temple, which is launching today. I've been teaching classes, but this is the first official online launch of the Writing Temple. And my first two classes will open for registration tonight. And one is a 6-week prayer writing class over teleseminar. And the other one, which is probably more likely to be interesting for some of the callers, is I'm opening 10 spots for people who have a significant writing project they want to work on. It's a 12-week course, and it's a combination of group teleconference calls and then individual mentorship with me, including email and editing support, live phone calls. So you get sort of partial group class structural support in your project and part one-on-one mentorship. So those go live tonight. So feel free to contact me if you're interested in either of those.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah,
really.
I feel like we people have so much creative beauty inside of them. That's been part of what's so fun about working with you, Ava, is that, you know, you said at the beginning that working in creative partnership makes both of our beauty come forward more fully, and that's what I've experienced. Is it's been really inspiring to be with you in your process, and you know, in the places when I always have people in my life in a supportive capacity for my projects. You know, I write things that are deeply meaningful to me, and the poetry I write, I drop into a certain place of receiving the words that at times feels immensely gorgeous and powerful, and at times feels vulnerable and not easy to come right back into the rest of the world from. And I have people in my life who I call, and I'm like, okay, I just had this very deep writing experience, and this is what came through. Will you read it? Will you be with me? Will you be my buddy in my process? And, you know, that's why I am sending all of these people that I know to your website right now, Ava, is because you hold this very kind, wise place of counsel for people as they're entrepreneurs and, you know, moving out into the world. And that's what I hope that my writing school will be able to offer people, is a place to have sort of sacred community and support around their your projects, the things your heart wants to bring forward. And life is so much more fun and beautiful when we do it together.
And you know what's really interesting, what I'm even thinking of right now, is that I think you and I have such a wonderful connection in this, is that you're there to help people develop these writing projects. And then the work that I do for entrepreneurs and helping them develop programs and services and offerings to the world, which can then create good money, which streams back into their businesses and their lives, that I am that piece, that I am that piece of the nurturing for those people that you have who are writing and maybe only thinking about making money from their books for the first time ever, or maybe they realize in creating whatever writing project they're working on that a business could be built around it to support it and to actually bring that writing forward to a much bigger group of people and to be seen in a larger way in the world. And so I feel like I'm that piece where, and you know, the work that I do with money and helping people become comfortable with money, that's so important for writers and creative people as well, is becoming
It doesn't
welcoming.
Have to be, people don't need to be starving artists. Right. Someone said that to me. I gave a speech recently, and afterwards they were like, so you're working full time as a poet? And I was like, yeah, I am. And he said, so you're doing the starving artist thing. And I was like, no, I'm not starving. I'm eating very well. And
oh my gosh.
I mean, there's times of faith required and times of like jumping, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, you are so fantastic. I'm so excited that we got to be connected for the months that we've been working with on my manuscript, and I'm so thrilled for all the work and the writing temple and all the classes you're teaching. Lindy, is there any last thing that you wanted to share with all these lovely creative people who are on the line and either midway through their creative writing, or they are maybe even thinking about writing their first book now that they've heard about this experience and how it can be a joyful one? Is there any last thing that you'd love to share with them?
I would. Thank you, Ava. Mm-hmm. The last thing that I want to say is that I think the most important thing in having a beautiful creative life is deciding that you will cherish and protect it. Mm-hmm. And whatever that means, whether it's carving out time to work on it, whether it's keeping projects mostly to yourself until they're mm-hmm. big and strong enough to deal with any potential criticism that people want to say.
Yeah.
Whether it means hiring people to help you, I think that my favorite thing that I've learned from Ava is her determination to bring her most beautiful self forward. And as you mm-hmm. can tell, the world is benefiting. And what I've learned in my own process is that my life has absolutely transformed since the day that I decided that no matter what, I was going to write every day. And then the next decision that no matter what, I was going to write 100 poems in the next 100 days. And each time I take another step in honoring my own creative life, it grows. And the benefits it brings to me are so just honestly joyful. That's what I wish for you, is that any creative person on the call, which is everyone, that you give your creative life the honor and respect that it needs to thrive and bring love to you and other people. So that's mm-hmm. my little sermon of the day. And Ava, you're just so inspiring, and I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lindy. It's been such a pleasure. So for everyone listening, we want to send you huge, huge thanks. Lindy is at lindyblodgett.com. There are two T's in that. I'm at avawaits.com. And we also love just giving you a little behind-the-scenes peek into the book that I'm working on, A Woman's Treasure, and then also this lovely creative relationship that Lindy and I have had over the past few months, and we are sending lots of magic to your writing endeavors and everything that you're working on right now. Great. Lindy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ava. Goodbye, everyone, and good luck. Give your little writing projects breath and happiness and kindness when it's challenging.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Lindy. Bye,
okay,
everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Wish you a great day. Bye.